Hello and welcome to season three of the Diminutive Collection. Hi, Christian.
Hey, Karen, how are you?
Good, I'm good, I'm good. So, we're going to talk about tension this week.
The
finally.
So,
tension is the 16th. Well, actually, it's the 17th because we can't forget about the Abbey Road sessions. Everyone seems to be forgetting about it. But it's actually the 17th studio album by our queen, Kylie Minogue, and it slapped us in the face when it was released on September 22nd, 2023. The announcement of the album came in May 2023, if you remember, signifying Minogue's return to the music scene after her 2020 release, Disco. Her intention with this record was to spotlight the uniqueness of each song, bypassing the need for a central theme, much to Christian's disdain. To achieve this, Minogue collaborated with various producers, including her long-term partners, Richard Biff Stannard, Duck Blackwell, Jackson Foote, and PhD in Cutfather. Drawing inspiration from the realm of electropop, Tension encompasses a diverse spectrum of electronic dance genres spanning the 1980s, synth-pop, disco, to funk, contemporary dance, and house elements. Despite its absence of a unifying theme, Tension delves into themes such as love, heartbreak, and empowerment. The album has received widespread critical acclaim from music reviewers who lauded its sound, infectiousness, and high-quality production, with some publications even ranking it as amongst Minogue's finest work. Now, Christian, do you agree that this is amongst Minogue's finest work?
First of all, I'd like to say thank you to everyone who welcomed us back last week, by the way. We had lots of lovely messages saying it was nice to have us back chatting about Kylie. So thank you very much to all those people who thanked us for coming back. Now, when you were saying half of that stuff about the themes on the album are about love, I don't know if you can hear my eyes rolling over the podcast, because the one thing, don't get me wrong, I think now that I've listened to it for a week, the album has grown on me quite a lot. But I've also got to the point where I've been so saturated by this album for the past week, by hearing it on people's stories, and I've been playing the album on repeat. I kind of see the failure, the highs and the lows of the album. And I wouldn't say it was among her best. I think it's, I don't know, I'm not quite sure where I'd rank it at the moment, because I wouldn't say it was in my top five. I don't think it's her best album as a whole. I get, because it's a little bit disjointed for me, and weirdly enough, I know she says she didn't want to have a theme this time, but I just feel like the themes really worked well, because it kind of made everything just feel like it all belonged together. And I think in some way, the way the songs have been distributed on this album, there's obviously songs that sound very similar, those 80s ones that sound a bit, you know, the upbeat 80s wishy-washy ones, and they sound very similar, and then you've got these other ones that don't sound like it. I don't know, it's just a very odd album. But just in terms of lyrics, the one thing I've been very disappointed about on this album is that for a woman who's 55, nothing's very personal. It's all kind of about like arms in the air, I'm seeing you in a nightclub type thing, which is all fair enough. It's great, it's a, you know, that they're great lyrics for pop songs, and you know, Steps can do them all they like. I just think it's weird that a woman of a certain age isn't getting a bit deeper into the lyrics for this album.
Okay. When you first listened to the album, just remember back to your first listen, what were your feelings on your very first listen? Did you have, I know we've had time to process it, and now we're getting into the deep kind of the thoughts of it, but didn't you think of the first listen that this is a great album, that their songs are catchy, it's earwormy, it's...
I don't know. It's a different one to say, because I... Obviously, we'd heard Padam Padam, we'd heard Tension, we'd heard Hold On to Love, and we'd heard a little bit of Vegas High. So in my head, I was thinking, oh God, that there's quite a strong pop sound here. And then when I listened to it, there was quite a lot of those, as I said, those 80s, very kind of like, they sound a bit like The Weeknd, that song by The Weeknd. It sounds very similar to that. And there's quite a lot of those, and they kind of, because I quite like drama in my songs, I like minor keys in songs, and I like that kind of little bit of drama within the melody. Those songs kind of went in one ear out the other, because they were just a little bit so upbeat and perky that they didn't sound like Kylie to me. They weren't Kylie songs. They sounded a little bit like somebody else's song. They sounded a bit like a Dua Lipa song, like the song she had that sounded like The Weeknd. It was a little bit but it was very much of that kind of like 80s, quite fast-paced ilk. So I kind of felt a bit cold listening to those, but then when I got to Hands, which seems to have gone down terribly with many fans, I loved it.
Oh my god, it's one of my favorites.
I just think it's got a really strong melody. I really like the sound. It sounds Kylie. It sounds like disco, I think, as does Green Light. And I thought those two songs are brilliant. But it was just those kind of 80s ones that just kind of left me a little bit cold. Over time, I can see why people like them. I wouldn't listen to them myself. I wouldn't put them on a playlist unless I hear them again for another few weeks and they really, really stick in my head. Or maybe if I see a video for one, I might begin to like the song. But I just find, I don't know, they left me a little bit cold.
To go back to your comment where you said that you were hoping for something more in depth from a woman of her age, what did you mean by that? Because she's making pop music. What do you want her to sing about? What in depth stuff do you want her to talk about? Like, it's all that I've noticed, the tracks are really quite short on this album, and it is very much an album created for this generation of music lovers, this young generation, the TikTok generation. I think they were very, even though I think it happened by accident and by chance, I think subliminally the production team had that in mind while creating just bops without much substance. And I think, you know, the album's great, even if it had, you know, is guilty of that, in my opinion.
You know me, I'm not one for deep lyrics in songs. I mean, I'm a sucker for a good melody, so that's where I begin with a song. But
this album is full of good melodies.
I guess we all, this is the thing, this is what I've discovered from the past week where everyone's been going on about the album, and there are some people who really, really love those upbeat 80s type songs, and that isn't the kind of music that I'm drawn to myself. So I kind of like the slightly darker ones, which are Vegas High's got that kind of slightly kind of somber undercurrent, even though it's high energy, Hands and Green Light. And that's fine, because people who like those songs can like those songs. As I said, I wouldn't necessarily play them myself. I don't rush back to those songs. I am beginning to like Story, I hasten to add. And so maybe slowly they will slightly fall into place in my head. But just
you need to live with this album for a little bit longer, you're saying.
Yeah, maybe. But I think also because we've been deluged with Kylie everywhere this week, and I, you know, I'm not complaining because it's lovely to have her there. She's on everything. But I'm actually feeling a little bit of Kylie fatigue.
What?
I'm Kylie fatigue. I just feel like everywhere I look, I hear or see her, and I keep hearing all the same. Everywhere I look, there's something Kylie, and I'm just feeling a little bit tired. I'm a bit drained by it.
That's not a bad thing. I completely agree.
Honestly, we get a small burst, and I love it. And you know, I've seen some brilliant interviews. I saw a brilliant interview today on YouTube, where she was doing answering the questions on the internet. And she was really funny, actually. I took it, but we said this last week, she's not great in interviews, but she's very good when she's commanding her own interviews. When she did the disco thing a couple of years ago, the lockdown thing, where she was, she was really funny. And during this, I can't remember what channel, what website it was for, but whatever it was, she was basically taking questions out of a box and answering them, but she was very charismatic. And I have a feeling that, I think when she's being asked questions, she thinks too much, and then that's when she kind of contemplates a lot of stuff that's going on and doesn't really answer it in a particularly exciting way. But she was very funny on that. What's the point of the story again? What did you ask me?
No, going back for that interview, so Christian and I were very fortunate enough to be at the taping of Graham Norton last night, and it'll be airing on Friday night, and Kylie was asked a question, and she was talking about kind of it being difficult in her early age, But she kind of stopped and didn't go into why she found it difficult growing up and the reasons why. So I think she's been very much guarded. She is very much, she watches her P's and Q's, and she doesn't give too much away. And I think I'm kind of used to it now. Like, I don't think she'll ever sit down and write an autobiography. I really don't.
I agree. I mean, in fairness, she doesn't have to share anything. She doesn't have to do that. That isn't part of her job. I mean, I love Kylie mainly because of the songs. That's the thing that really draws me to Kylie. That's carried me through for the past 35 years. I've loved the songs, and I love Kylie as a person. And, you know, she keeps herself very guarded. I mean, she did an interview with Scott Mills last week. I don't know if we said this last week. And she let me down a little bit because he asked this amazingly kind of emotive question about, you know, when he was a bit younger and he was coming out, she was part of the, you know, she partly helped him through because of being Kylie. And she responded in such a way that kind of dismissed what he said. And I thought that was kind of weird. She kind of said, but I'm really here for everyone. And I just thought, 5 minutes, you just, you know, you're allowed to, you don't have to, you're not alienating people by saying, oh yes, I know that I've got a big gay fan base and you know, I've helped them through. You can say that. That's not alienating people. But I don't know. As you say, the interviews are whatever they are. They're there just to, you know, people are fascinated by her. She's a mystical character for most of us. She doesn't give too much away. We don't really know what's going on in her life. And I quite like that. I don't really want to know what's going on in her life. I don't really care about her love life. I like the idea that Kylie is producing songs that we all love and we all, you know, get to carry around in our hearts forever.
Let's talk about the actual album look and feel itself. I think this is potentially the best looking Kylie album that she's ever released. I love the styling. I love the design. I love the artwork. The images within the artwork, within the album itself, stunning. It's one of my faves.
Oh, yeah. I get it. You see, this is the thing. Everyone's got their own opinion. Everyone's got their own taste standard. For me, again, it's a little bit like disco, a little bit kind of fan-made.
Really?
But then maybe that's kind of what they're looking for. Maybe they want it. I think maybe in this kind of, you know, keenness to attract the younger audience, you know, like the TikTok stuff. Younger style, if you look at all the fashion magazines, they're kind of, they're very, very basic in terms of their style. The fonts are very, you know, they're very basic. The styling's very basic. The pictures are taken in a very basic way. Everything's done to look almost like it's been done on a phone. And I'm not quite sure if that's perhaps the thought process behind this, because it just doesn't look slick and beautiful. Like 20 years ago when you had light years, you know, it was beautiful photography. And that's what, like, magazines were doing, beautiful photography. These days, you know, Vogue magazine still does great photographs, but things like, you know, the Wonderlands and all that, they're kind of these kind of edgy looking pictures that look a little bit out of focus. And that's quite edgy and young. So I don't know if that's what they're going to go for.
I just completely disagree. I think the album does look premium. And you don't own the physical copy, do you?
No, I don't own physical copies.
Yeah, no. So I have a physical copy in my hand and it is actually beautiful.
I saw quite a lot of them at the pop-up shop, you know, once I got past the hangers.
Yes. Do you want to talk about the hangers?
I can't remember if we talked about the hangers last week.
No, we didn't talk about the hangers.
I'm sorry, Kylie. I love you and all that. But when they were taking the hangers off the £120 hooded top I bought and said, oh, no, we have to keep the hangers. I didn't realise you were going to be selling them the next day. But hey, get it where you can. At least put sparkles on the hangers. There were no sparkles on the hangers. They were just plain wooden hangers with a name on it.
Well, people bought them, and I think, you know, Kylie fans out there will buy anything with her name on it. So,
well, there was a lot of comeback actually. If you looked online, a lot of the fans were saying, "I think this is the line in the sand which you shouldn't cross," because it was just a little bit kind of too. I mean, I'm surprised you weren't selling the empty glasses that people were drinking Prosecco out of, because it was just something. I thought they were literally going to sell everything that was just left lying around. You know, the tables, the people who worked there. It was a bit bizarre, very bizarre. But also,
If there was like maybe 10 hangers for £20, I would have bought them, but not three.
Yeah. But yes, it's ridiculous. I mean, you get five wooden ones for £5 in Primark. But Also, I think she needs to just change there were such random, we need things like umbrellas or things that we use in everyday life so that we can always have something to remember. I even suggested last week we have a nice fever first aid kit, or we have a disco, your disco needs you fans, so you can fan yourself in a nightclub. And I had another idea for something, I can't remember what it was, but we just need things that are practical everyday use, that, you know, because, you know, those candles, those £60 candles, you'd be too scared to light them or melt, they'd be gone in 60 seconds.
So let's talk about Padam Padam, the very first track. This track characterizes, basically, it's hypnotic and it's got an electric vibe infused with like synth dance pop components. It's actually pretty incredible. Now that I've lived with it for a while.
Because you never liked
and,
it.
No, I didn't like it in the beginning, but now I really appreciate it. And it's in my bones now. And it pops into my head many times a day, even when I'm not playing it. So I'm a fan of this song. And I'm so glad I was proved wrong on it. Yeah, well, what are your thoughts?
I love this. Well, I said this last week. I love this the minute I heard it because it was just unusual. It had really interesting chords. There was a weird element of darkness to it, and I really liked it for that. It did irritate me after a while because I heard it so many times that it became one of those things where you kind of roll your eyes and think, oh, God, that song again. But weirdly, I haven't heard it for a while because tension's taken over. And now I hear it again. And I mean, last week I was DJing at the event last week, and I had Padam Padam in there. And it actually sounds joyous. When you hear it between lots of other songs, it's so different to anything you've ever heard. It's actually quite brilliant. So I think it's a really good timeless song. It's up there with Slow for Kylie being quite experimental with pop. And I really, really like that. And as I said to you last week, originally when I heard it the first time, I did think to myself, have you shot yourselves in the foot by recording the album already? Because this song is so quirky and it's gone down so well. Should you not be going down that quirky route as opposed to the quite standard songs that we kind of that did emerge in the end?
Yeah, but like I think she did follow up with Tension, which is quirky and different. But we'll get to that. So I think this was a very, very strong start for this album, and I think it's definitely a Kylie classic, 100%. And the video was fantastic, as we spoke about it last week. It's brilliant. Let's talk about Hold On To Now, or All The Lovers Part 2, as I like to call it.
What did you make of it?
First listen, I liked it. It's growing on me even more and more, where the point where I think I was like, it was in my head while I was in sleeping the other night. I think it's beautifully, there's a beautiful lyric in there, and there's beautiful songs. I think it's a very well-crafted song. It's Kylie through and through. It just, every time I hear it, I just think about All The Lovers. It's going to be one of those songs that she ends shows with, or she might start with All The Lovers Now and finish with Hold On To Now, or reverse, but it's going to be either top or tail of her sets moving forward. Yeah, I like it, but I just don't want it to be the next single. But it probably will be, right?
Yeah, I assume it's going to be. She seems to go on about it all the time and perform it quite a lot. I liked it when I heard it. I didn't love it. And I think at one point there was a rumor it was going to be the lead single. And I'm glad it wasn't, because it is quite, when I say bland, I don't mean it's bland in a bad way. I just mean bland in the sense that it's bland compared to Padam Padam, which obviously captivated the world. The more I've heard it, the more I like it. And I haven't heard it loudly yet. I haven't heard it loud in a place, like in a show, because we didn't go to the show on Thursday, which I don't want to talk about because it makes me feel sad. Although I have watched it on YouTube and, I've seen it all before. But it is quite anthemic. It does feel quite emotional. It does feel quite, it pulls at the heartstrings a little bit. I do like it. I would prefer it to stay an album track. I don't think I need to see it as a single, but then I think it's a song that is very mainstream. It will pick up all the people who aren't Kylie fans who are looking for that kind of Kylie fix. That this is a very, this song works for, it's like kids. It's very similar. It's similar to kids in the sense that it will appeal to gays, girls, mums, women, office workers, not that people can't be office workers, you know what I mean? People. It's office party stuff.
Yeah. The Things We Do For Love is track 3. So this song incorporates a blend of synthesizers, guitars, drums, and riffs that kind of evoke a nostalgia of the 80s, synth and power. That kind of, the first time I heard it, I'm like, I love this. Because I just love that kind of 80s feel. And then when I saw that Camille, who wrote this, in addition to writing Tension, it just shows just how versatile she is as a songwriter as well. So I really love, I like this song very much. I don't love it, I like it very, very much. But again, not a single. Lovely album track, lovely earworm kind of bop. But yeah, I enjoy this.
As I said, the minute I heard the beginning of it, I thought of the Weeknd song, the title of which eludes me. It kind of went in one ear out the other straight away. Now I've listened to it for over a week. It's kind of beginning to stick in my head. It's one of these things. It's that thing sometimes, you might hear a song straight away and you love it, Padam Padam, you get bored of it because you hear it so often. And then the ones that take a longer time to get to know, you end up liking more. So maybe this might be a case for these songs. It has begun to filter into my brain. I do see why people like it. As I said, it's not one that I would necessarily choose to listen to. I wouldn't put it on one of my fave playlists that I kind of curate. So but it's good for what it is. I can imagine it live, it would be quite an exciting song. So it'd be a very upbeat song. It'd be quite fun, I guess.
Well, I hope she does do it live, but looking at her set lists and stuff, she's not really doing much of the album, because like the set list at the Shepherd's Bush, like, she did, what, three songs from the Tension album?
I was surprised that she didn't do as many, but I'm assuming she's kind of locked. I mean, I think the thing on Thursday, that was open to everyone on O2, wasn't it? So she had to do across the board kind of songs for the audience. So Kylie fans and people who aren't Kylie fans. So I guess that was a very kind of broad selection of songs. Although I was very impressed that she did Breathe, which is an unusual song to do, which I love. So that was lovely to hear.
Do you think they'll release this on DVD or streaming, that show, like they did for Body Language, Money Can't Buy?
I don't know. I mean, maybe somebody who was there can tell us if there's a camera crew there. It'd be lovely to see it, because it'd be nice to... I'm surprised O2 didn't record it for their own kind of stuff, for their own needs. So hopefully, because I'd like to see it. But somebody has cheekily filmed it and put it on YouTube. So that, and it is quite a basic set, basic lighting and stuff like that. But all the people who have been to see it have told me with great glee that I wasn't there, that it was a really good show. So,
Let's go to Tension. Probably up there, along with Hand on Your Heart, as potentially one of my favorite Kylie songs. I think it's so different. It's brilliant. It's genius in the way it's crafted as well. Like the way the chorus comes, and it's that kind of, it just hits you like a freight train. It's a brilliant, brilliant song, which deserves, I think, a lot more success. I think it's actually better than Padam Padam. In my opinion, it's brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
Again, I didn't like it to start with. And then I just found myself a few days later, in fact, in my sleep, like you said a minute ago, with some of the rhythmy bits in it, kind of playing in my head. And then I just realized that the song had got into my head, and it was really brilliant. So I really like the song. I mean, I don't think it's as good as Padam, but it's as good as Padam Padam, but in a different way. But I think it's less immediate than Padam Padam, and it's less accessible to maybe a broader audience. I think Padam Padam is kind of like for everyone. This is quite dancey. It's quite young, quite youthful. So I think it might put off, maybe some 50 somethings a little bit if you're not into the kind of dance sound. But it's a good song, and I think it's up there with one of them. And you're right, it is one of my favourite songs. I quite like the kind of hardness to it. It's kind of got this pretty hard edge to it. And I didn't think I would like it to start with, but no, it's really good.
And it's so different as well, because I love when Kylie tries and experiments and does different stuff, because I love like Whistle with Mom. I love the old kind of really different songs. And this for me is on par with something that's really left centre, something very unexpected. And I just loved it. Love it, love it, love it.
Well, I love it when Kylie does something different, because, I mean, even though I like a song that we'll talk about in a minute that's kind of very Kylie, very generic, I get excited when she does something different. So Padam Padam, Slow, Confide in Me. I think songs that are very unlike Kylie, Some Kind of Bliss, I'll even throw that one in. I love those songs because they are... And you know what? Weirdly, I listened to Two Hearts again the other day. Never liked it. Never listened to it. Listened to it the other day. Realize it's actually a really good song, and I actually really enjoyed it. And it was a performance I was watching on YouTube, and I just thought, God, you know what? Maybe at that point in time, as we've said many times before, I wasn't ready for that song. But now my ears have changed. I'm a man in his early 50s, and I realize that maybe that song is not too bad now.
Let's talk about One More Time, and this is kind of apt because One More Time, it is true, because this really should have been on Disco, don't you think?
Well, weirdly, I think it should be on Fever. It sounds like a Fever song to me.
Well, there's that up-tempo funk that's got the up-tempo pop, but it's really sonically like a song that was from Disco.
Maybe, yeah, I guess so. I for me, it sounds a bit like More, More, More from Fever. It's got that kind of like sound that I didn't like. Again, this is another song that's kind of grown on me a little bit. It's because it's got... The thing about these songs, they don't have the melodies that I'm looking for, but they've got these kind of really quirky rhythms that really capture my attention. And that's the thing that's been quite interesting, because, as I said, normally I'm a melody and chords person. I love certain chord progressions and I love certain melodies. But on this album in particular, it's the rhythms that have actually caught me more than the melodies, which is probably why I don't love them with all my heart as I might do a song with a great melody.
I think you just need to marinate more in this album, and in about 6 months' time, you'll have a different viewpoint, I reckon. Yeah. I don't think it's fully sunk into your bones yet. You Still Get Me High. So I have a theory. I think this song was written in the golden writing sessions. The reason why, if you listen to this song at the beginning of this song and Radio On, it's a very similar feel. Every time I listen to this song, I think of Radio On, especially the beginning, because it kind of starts off, you think you're going to get this reprieve where it's, you know, you've had all these fast-paced songs, you know, that kind of synth disco, and then you're hearing the beginning, you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to sit back down, and the chorus comes in, and it's a bop. But just the verses really make me think of Radio One, which makes me think, sure, this was written ages ago, and she's had it in the vault for a while. But I really love this. I think it's a great, great song. Not, I don't know if it should be a single. Don't think it would, but it's a really, really good album track.
To me, it sounds very similar to The Things We Do For Love. The Weeknd song I was trying to refer to is Blinding Lights. That's what I'm referring to. I just had to look it up because my memory for songs like this is terrible. It sounds very similar. It's cut from the same cloth. It feels like they're all written at the same time, these songs, because they've all got the same. It's like they put in 80s Weeknd sound and they just put songs over that beat. Physical is the song that Dua Lipa did that sounds like Weeknd. So these are all in the same kind of 80s ilk, speedy 80s. It's a nice song.
Just, you don't love it.
I haven't listened to it again. If it comes on, I listen to it and I think, oh, that's quite nice, but I won't. It isn't going on one of my playlists.
Hands by Kylie Minaj. I wonder what Jazzy P thinks of. I wonder if Jazzy P is shaking in her boots because of Kylie's rap efforts.
Oh, I'm sure she's probably stomping down some ramp somewhere with her thick thighs. I love this song. When I heard this, you see, this goes back to being a proper song. It's got, people keep on saying something like Say Something by Doja Cat, but I mean, it doesn't. But it's got a really good melody, and I love that kind of rappy verse thing that she does. And I think it's a really good song. I'm really surprised because I've been watching a lot of YouTube album reactions, and a lot of people hate this song, and I find it really bizarre that they do. But they think it's not. I mean, maybe it doesn't fit on this album. It sounds like a disco cast off.
No, I think it was recorded for the Barbie soundtrack, but it ended up on the cutting room floor.
It sounds like it should go on disco. It sounds like a disco song. There's a leak song that came out a while ago called Piano, and it sounds like Piano, which has got the same kind of chords, and it's got really melodious. I really like it. So this is one of my favourite songs. I'd love her to release it as a single. I'd love to see video.
100%. I'd love to.
It's another distinctive song that's very different on this album. You got it, if she, my choice of singles would be Padam Padam, Tension, this, Vegas High, because they all tick a different Kylie box. And maybe throw in one of those 80s ones as a fifth song just to push the album.
Yeah, no, I agree that, like, if you follow the trajectory of Padam, Tension, she needs something that's very different, and Hands fits that role. So yeah, I would love this song to be the next single, but I just don't think it will be, sadly. I think we're to hold on to now. Green Light. So this song is a Dua Lipa song, I think. And that, like, can we just talk about the pure genius of that saxophone solo at the end? Like, what pop star would have the balls and the gumption to put that in a song? I think it's absolutely phenomenal and so different. It elevated that song for me. Without the saxophone, it'll just be just a middle of the road song. But that saxophone was just the spice that it needed.
It does give it a little bit of difference, a point of difference. I mean, I don't like the saxophone. I always think it sounds cheap. But it does kind of work well for the song because it does, I mean, it sounds again like another disco. These two songs sound like they are back-to-back. They should have been the extra songs on disco. Actually, they should have been maybe on the main album. So they sound very similar. They're kind of like siblings, I think, song siblings. I really like it. And as much as I don't like the sound of a saxophone, it does kind of work on this song. It is very kind of middle of the road, middle-aged. And I think the young whippersnappers out there probably will think, God, although people keep calling it a trumpet on some of the album reactions, but that's ignorant ears for you. But yeah, it's a good song. I like it. This is one of my favorite songs on the album.
Vegas High. This song, I think, could have been genius. However, I think the arrangement, they should have put the ending at the beginning, because at the end, where that kind of ending is brilliant. Whereas there's like a bridge at the end. There's that kind of different kind of bridge where it fades. You're like, that should have been in the beginning, and that should have been a consistent theme throughout the song. If they would have just chopped and changed that song, it would have been pure pop perfection. But it is a good song. I don't think it's... I can probably see people in Vegas, you know, in the day bars and clubs and all that, having a great time on it. But it just frustrates me where it's a shabbily constructed song.
Shush. I'm not listening to you. Shush. No more. No, it's this. This is my Your Disco Needs You from this album. It's the only song that actually hits me like a bullet. And I heard the outro a few weeks ago, and I got really excited. It was very weird to hear the full song because the chorus has got a whole lot more going in it than I expected.
Yeah, but
it is from the minute the verses start. The chords are really dark. They've got really beautiful chords. The melody is really good. It's quite moody, and then it's got this joyous chorus that is so euphoric. And I think I may have said this last week. When I heard it the first time, I burst into tears because of the song. I'm going to do it again because I'm talking about it. And I can't do it twice. I can't do it twice in 2 weeks. But it was so euphoric, and it makes my heart literally sing and dance. And I think it's a brilliant, and the middle section is really good. And then when it goes into that kind of weird, kind of like that whooshy-whooshy noise before it goes into the final set of choruses. Honestly, it's euphoric. It's absolutely the most amazing thing. It's not very American. I can't imagine them playing it in Vegas because Americans hate this kind of music. So it's not really, I don't understand why it's even a Vegas theme tune for her, but it's a brilliant song. It's the best song she's ever done, bar the ones I already like.
I would like, if a remixer is out there listening to this, please chop it up and make it better.
Don't change the chords. I think it's the most, I think this is one of the most immediate songs on the album. Although weirdly, again, watching those reactions, one of the most unpopular songs on the album, but you know what? It's a lot of people who've never listened to a Kylie album before. So maybe it's because I'm old school Kylie and I like things that are very poppy. And I guess maybe younger ears are looking for things that are a little bit more cutting edge. I think maybe it's a basic pop song in terms of for some people, but hey, I love it. It's my favorite song.
10 out of 10. This track was released as a promotional single 7 months prior to the release of this album. Oliver Heldens described the track as being influenced by various eras, including 80s synth pop and disco, 90s house, and 2000 Eurodance, all blended with a contemporary twist in dance music. I think this song is probably about a 5 out of 10 for me. It's probably one of the weakest ones on the album. And we know that she loves a collaboration, right? But it's probably, yeah, I give this 5 out of 10, not 10 out of 10.
When it came out originally, I wasn't fussed about it because it didn't sound like a Kylie song. It sounded like she was featured on a record. In the context of this album, I really like it. And it's a great one to follow Vegas High because it's kind of in the same ilk. It's very poppy. And funnily enough, the producer said in Classic Pop Magazine that a lot of people have come to him afterwards and said, it sounds like Enjoy Yourself. And if you listen to Enjoy Yourself and 10 out of 10, musically at the beginning of the song, really, really similar. So it harks back to a very Stock Aitken and Waterman kind of sound. Maybe it's a little bit too old school for this album, but I quite like it. I don't like the male voice bit, but I think the song as a whole is very perky, it's very poppy. It's actually a very good Kylie song, but I didn't think that at the very beginning.
Yeah, I just don't know if it needed to be on this album. It could have just lived in the ethos as a Kylie single before Tension.
Yeah, I don't think it needed to be on this album because it was out there as, I mean, it wasn't even a lead. They made it look like that was the lead single, which is a bit weird.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was necessary either. I agree with you.
Story. The last track on the Standard album. I think this is a great ending. This is a really great ending to the Standard album because this song, I don't know what is in it, but it's so catchy and it grows on you like a wart. It's so, so good. And it's got that fast-paced bubblegum pop dance track. It's anthemic, I think. It's a great, great song. What are your thoughts?
I like it. It's of the 80s ones. It's the one I like the most, I think. I don't think it's a great ending, though, because it feels like it ends high. And I kind of, like on Disco, we had Celebrate You, which I thought was a lovely All the Lovers type song, which I thought was a nice ending. And I know we haven't got there yet, but Somebody to Love would have been a great ending. Or even Hold On to Love would have been a good ending. I think it feels, it's an odd in the order of things, it's an odd order. I think I feel like it should be in the middle. Somebody on Say Hey, I think, put together they rearranged the track listing to kind of put all the songs that sounded similar together, and I think it works better that way, like two different sides of the album. So, because there are two very strikingly different sounds. There's a slightly darker sound with Hands and Green Light and Vegas High and Padam Padam and Tension, and then you've got the 80s-y ones that, and One More Time, which are all kind of more upbeat. So you could have actually had, you know, two halves, Light and Shade. And I think maybe Story is, it could have been somewhere else in the album, but it's a good song. I like it. Very high pitched.
It is very high pitched. She does hit some very high notes.
She sang it live the other day and she actually hit all the notes.
Let's talk about the bonus tracks now. Love Train. The abomination that is Love Train.
It makes you wonder what they left off the album to put this on. Yeah, this is what I was saying to you earlier on about lyrics on the album, because this is a vacuous song that means absolutely nothing, isn't Locomotion, isn't even Love Train, the old song. It doesn't really say anything. And I don't understand the point of it. Do you know what I mean? There's no point to it. Why would you sit there and think, I'm going to write a song called Love Train? It just feels really weird for someone.
And they mentioned Super Mario Brothers in it. And I think it's one of those just, I don't know, haphazard, very juxy song. I don't know. It's not a great one.
It sounds a bit tuneless.
But when you look, well, for me, when I look at the album, I think that's probably the weakest link. If it didn't have that song on it, it'll be pure perfection, other than, well, 10 out of 10. But yeah, I just wish this song wasn't on there. And I thought, when I first listened to it, I'm like, maybe it's a grower. I've listened to it a few times. It's definitely not a grower.
No, it's a weird thing, because it's kind of ugly to listen to, because it's kind of really, the rhythms are kind of, they're not smooth. It's all kind of a bit spiky. It's a spiky song, and it doesn't really get me, it's very odd. But it just feels like a really immature kind of song for someone of any age actually to write. It feels like just the idea of the lyrics of it and the title just feels really out of date. It's like something you'd write in the 70s or 80s, but it isn't a kind of a song title that you'd have now, because people kind of have song titles that mean something a little bit, even if it's just a slogan title. It, you know, there's something that you get from it. Well, Love Train just means nothing, and it's not even something you can do a conga to.
Let's talk about Just Imagine, an underrated gem.
Which one?
This song. Just Imagine. What? No, this song reminds me of like an Olympic song. Like I get tingles when I listen to it. It's just that build is a very, very short song, and it could have been much longer in my opinion. But I think it's fantastic. I think it's really, really fantastic.
I might need to listen to this one a few more times, because this one, when it comes on, it's almost like I've fallen into a coma, because I wake up and I find myself at Somebody to Love. I can't hear it. I mean, we were traveling back in a taxi last night. We listened to the whole album and it came on. And I cannot even remember it. I can't even remember the title. When he just said it to me, I couldn't believe it was a song. It's a really weirdly bland song. And I don't think it's necessary to put these bonus tracks on. I mean, Mae Muller's album came out today, and you know, there's about 17 tracks on it. And it's, you know, I feel like when you say they're bonus tracks, you expect bonus tracks to be absolutely amazing. If it was a 13-track album and they weren't bonus tracks, fair enough, we can forgive one or two bad songs. But when they're bonus tracks, you expect them to be the cream of the crop that they wanted everyone to hear. Love Train ain't that. And Just Imagine, I'm trying to imagine a song that's better than this, which is quite easy.
Oh my God, no, I don't.
No, I don't like this one. I think it's really wishy-washy. I think this is the weakest song in terms of melody. I will listen to it again after this, I hasten to add. And maybe next time we chat, I might have a different opinion. But so far, it's been very, very difficult to kind of latch onto.
Hi folks, this is Kieran in the future, and after the recording, Christian went back and listened to Just Imagine, and this is what he had to say.
Okay, I'm wrong. I've listened to Just Imagine again, and I think I quite like it. So maybe I was wrong. I think it's going to grow on me. It's getting there. It was wishy-washy to start with, but it's better.
And now we'll get back to the review.
Let's go to the last song, which is Somebody to Love, which, in my opinion, is the best song on the album, other than Tension. Mm. It is like, she's done this again with like Golden. Lost in You was the best song on Golden, and that was the bonus track.
And then weirdly, on Kiss Me Once, I loved Mr. President. Sleeping with the Enemy. I thought that was an amazing song. People forget that song. It was a great song. Well done, Kylie. I love that song.
She's done it again by putting the best song as the last bonus track on the album. It's amazing.
I like it. It's very, I mean, this is another one of those Radio 2 friendly songs. One of those songs that you can imagine being a classic if it ever got picked up. I have a feeling it'll never be. I don't think you'll ever get that pickup from the public, but it's a really nice traditional song. You kind of know where it's going, because in the minute I heard the title, I immediately thought of the Queen song. Did Queen do a song called that? We all need somebody to love. No, that's E17.
Somebody to love, don't find me somebody to love. Find me somebody to love.
Well, that's Queen.
Yeah.
And then E17 have got a song called Someone to Love, and it reminded, so I started playing those songs in my head, and it's not too far off those songs, so it kind of follows a musical journey that you kind of predict, which is no bad thing, because I think that's why good songs are good songs, when you kind of think you know what's around the corner. I quite like those songs. That's what Vegas High is.
So that's Tension, and I know, you know, that we're not, everyone's going to have different opinions, right? Everyone's going to have different thoughts on it. But at the end of the day, we all have to kind of sit back and applaud Kylie, who is still releasing albums and still releasing bops, right? We have to applaud that. We have to respect that, regardless of our opinions. And I think, you know, I don't think this is her last album. I think this is just a Kickstarter for her, and she's going to be releasing more stuff. My only concern is she's probably going to be releasing more shorter songs that you will probably hate, because it'll be more kind of wishy-washy, less lyrical, more appealing to the younger market, which I think would be quite good to listen to. If she keeps doing stuff like Tension and Padam Padam and Hands, I'm all in.
Oh, yeah. I agree with you. I think it's a really great moment. And before anyone does criticise anything I've said, which I'm sure people will. Well, I mean, you've got to bear in mind that we're going through this album critically. So, you know, there are honest opinions. It doesn't mean that we don't like them, the songs. It doesn't mean we don't like the songs, we don't like Kylie. It just means that some songs work well for us and some songs don't. A lot of people don't like certain songs that I like, and that's their own, that's their choice. And we're all allowed to like certain songs. We're all attracted to different sounds and different kinds of songs, which is why people like Ed Sheeran, which I completely do not understand. But I would say that, yeah, it's a great time for Kylie right now. I'm so excited. Even though I said earlier on I had Kylie fatigue, I'm glad I've got Kylie fatigue, because I know that when she does go to Vegas and we don't see her for a while, you know, we've had our fair share of it. I do feel sorry for Kylie, and she looks so tired. I was watching some of the radio interviews on YouTube today, and of course, because interviewers have no imagination, they ask the same questions about, did you ever think TikTok would change your... You know, as if they've never seen her being interviewed before. And you can just see her eyes roll back, just like they do in Vegas High. And you think, you can imagine, she must be thinking, my God, because it's great. It's like, it must be weird for someone of her stature, because she doesn't really need to do these interviews. And she's done literally everything except the diminutive collection. But that's by the by. I did try, and obviously got ignored. But, but I guess she doesn't want to, you know, she doesn't need to go to the fans. She's trying to appeal to people who don't buy Kylie records, and that's what it's all about, all this kind of publicity. She's trying to attract people who don't buy Kylie records, which is fair enough, that it's a new audience. I'm very excited about Kylie. She says in one of the interviews today that she's very excited and she can't wait to start writing another album, so we might get more albums next year, maybe, when she's going to fit that in between Vegas and obviously a world tour next year, because there's bound to be one. Who knows? She might be debuting some new songs on the tour.
I think there's next year for the tour. I think she'll finish Vegas, and then she'll go on a world tour. But there'll be a Tension remix album that will be coming out to support the tour,
And then the following year will be the new album. So I think we've got a 2-year wait for a new Kylie album.
I have a feeling my water, and we're never normally right. But actually, we're right about some things. I have a feeling my water, she'll do that special remix album. That'll come out in the summer at the start of the tour. And then there'll be new songs on that tour from the next album that'll probably come out maybe in the new year. But then I guess she always comes out at Christmas, doesn't she? So maybe she might do two next year. Who knows?
Well, we'll just wait and see. Well, thanks so much, Chris.
A backlog of albums. She needs to tour that disco album. That's the thing. It's going to be such a weird tour now, isn't it? Because disco would have been a brilliant show in itself. And now you're tagging all this stuff onto it. But then, as she says in her Vegas tour chats recently, she said that, you know, the show starts off as a jazzy thing, doesn't it? The Vegas tour starts off with a jazzy feel in a very intimate 1,000 cap, she keeps referring it to us.
Yeah,
And then it goes into Studio 54, so which makes me very excited. Hopefully there'll be boys in hot pants.
If I was her, I would do an act one and an act two of the when she does her world tour. Act one is disco, Studio 54, and then you're transported for act two into the futuristic version of Studio 54 for like the tension and that kind of albums. And then needs to be two kind of shows.
Well, the thing is, she left off Golden. That was the last tour, wasn't it? Golden.
Yes, Golden. Yeah.
You left Golden off in Studio 54. So in a way, it's almost kind of a continuation. It's like maybe she doesn't need to do like one of those Neighbours recaps that they used to do at the beginning of the episode where they look back at the previous episode to see what we were carrying on watching. So, you know, we can kind of flash back to Golden, then do the Studio 54, and then we can lead into the 80s then, which is the second half, although it'd be less powerful than disco. But we're thinking too much about it. I'm sure whatever she does, it'll be good. We love her shows. We love Kylie. We love her music. It's going to be brilliant. I know we sound like we're moaning about her all the time. We moan because we love her before anyone tries to string us up and tell us off.
All right. Well, thanks, Christian, so much. We will see everyone very soon. But yeah, thanks for listening. Please follow us on Instagram. And if you like what we said, just get in touch.
And if you don't like what we said, I'll get in touch anyway.
All right. We'll speak to you guys soon. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.